December the 6th, Friday night in the NBA, we have 7 games, I believe, tonight. So a nice schedule, not too much to talk about on the injury front, which is good. We do have some potential returning players, some outs, things like that. Always finding stuff to talk about. When it comes to fantasy basketball, this is the Friday pregame show. Let's go balls deep.
I'm the type to get shit done. You're the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Cause I'm loud in the blunt, yeah. I don't say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny getting tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me.
Welcome to the Balls Deep podcast brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. I'm Adam King. Find me on Twitter and Blue Sky at AdamKing91. We are on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube. Please go and find us over on those platforms, whichever ones you use. Download this episode, download previous episodes. All the downloads do add up and count, and will eventually maybe make us a tiny bit of money, which that would be nice. I can get a green screen. I can get a boom thing for my mic. We can upgrade some stuff. So that would be really good to be able to do that. We are also part of the Old Man Squad at Old Man Squad on Twitter, at Dan Besperis on Twitter, DanBesperis. Okay, 7 games. Let's get straight into them. First of which, Orlando at Philadelphia. Not a lot on the Orlando side. Nothing new anyway, which is always nice. We're really watching Goga tonight. He only played 20 minutes, minutes in the teens. Anyway, it wasn't a lot in that last game. They went with a lot of Anthony Black. I do hope it was a matchup related decision, and we will see Goga back playing minutes in the mid to high 20s tonight. But time will tell. We didn't think Goga would actually be starting alongside Wendell. So Jonathan Isaac, his minutes have also been down in the last couple of games. We'll see if he can bump those back up. In terms of streaming tonight, KCP, I guess, is someone we probably at least consider if you need threes and steals. Jonathan Isaac, if he's available, if you need blocks and steals. I wouldn't worry too much about Anthony Black. I know he's coming off that sort of high, well, good performance in terms of playing time, but I would like to see that a couple more times before adding him to that list. For the Sixers, Paul George will return. He missed the last game as part of his return to injury plan. Still playing with that very sizable knee brace, which you have to wonder how healthy he is. I mean, he looked good when he played, but coming back from a knee injury, I don't know. That's not something you usually see, players wearing a massive knee brace for a period of time, maybe one game, but even then, usually not. So anyway, something to monitor. Yabusele. With Drummond questionable, we could get a little bit of a shift or a rotation change here. They will probably keep Kelly Oubre in the starting lineup and move Jared McCain to the bench for whatever reason. I would still have McCain over Oubre. Yabusele, I mentioned, I would still be holding him. I think he should play minutes as long as Embiid's out, and who knows. Embiid was supposedly a chance to play tonight, but has ultimately been ruled out again. I don't know. No idea when he's coming back, to be honest. Okay, game number 2, Lakers at Atlanta. Let's see what version of the Lakers we get here. They've been pretty bad. There've been a lot of media speculation and comments, and JJ Redick, LeBron James, Anthony Davis has been playing very poorly. So we don't really know what the cause of this is. Maybe tonight some meetings that they've had with players and things like that can spur them into playing better. Against Atlanta, it should at least be a free-flowing game, so give them an opportunity to get some rhythm back on offense. Dalton Kincaid has been, since we sort of talked about him as someone you need to be adding, he's been very bad. So this, again, would be a favorable matchup in terms of not a lot of defense. Dyson Daniels, I would assume, will get LeBron in this game. Maybe D'Lo. I don't know. They might switch him up a little bit. So let's look for Kincaid to try and bounce back in this one. Rui Hachimura. You might have some streaming spots tonight. If you need some points, give him a look. For the Hawks, Trae Young, probable again with his Achilles issue. No one else out or significant enough to impact fantasy here. Reese Shea has been starting and there's no indication that that will change. Hunter would be the only person that might come into the starting lineup. I would rather have Hunter over Reese Shea, despite the fact he's coming off the bench. I think Hunter's been quite good this year, and Bogdanovich was good in the last game. I think he had 5 steals, maybe, from memory. Anyway, it was a good one. So he's probably not available. If he is, he shouldn't be. Onyeka Okongwu, also probably still a must-roster player. Hasn't hit that ceiling that we were hoping for, but I still think that I would be rostering him. A couple of questions I'm just looking at. We can just get to those at the end, probably. Yep. Okay, we will get to those shortly. Milwaukee at Boston. Big game for the Bucks here. They've been playing a lot better of late, so coming up against Boston, always a really good test. Chris Middleton is probable to return. Maybe I talked about this. I wouldn't be activating him tonight if you've got him in your IR spot, unless you've got someone you can just switch him out with. But remember, if you do activate him, then he's activated. You can't move him back unless he is... Well, that's probably not completely true, because chances are he's going to be listed as something every game this season, or majority of games. Questionable, doubtful, probable, which in depending what your settings are, is enough to move him back into the IR spot. But tonight, given the absence here, I wouldn't expect him to play a ton. I could be wrong. This could be a situation where he has been relatively healthy and they're just waiting for the right moment to bring him back. But personally, yeah, I wouldn't, unless you've got someone you can drop straight into the IR spot, I wouldn't be dropping a player to activate him. With him back, with Giannis probably going to play, Dame is healthy. It's really just Gary Trent, AJ Green for threes. For the Celtics, they get Drew Holiday back. They get Jason Tatum back. They get Al Horford back. Kristaps Porzingis is out. This is seemingly not an injury. It's just management. So that will mean there's some backup center minutes to go around. Cornette has been quite good over the last 3 games. Multiple blocks, I think, in all 3. So he would probably be... number one, if you are looking for a Celtics backup center, but as we've seen before, it could be Nemanja Kadar who comes in, and we could even get a Xavier Tillman sighting. So given that they're relatively healthy here, I probably wouldn't even bother streaming at all, to be honest. Maybe Sam Hauser for threes. Sacramento at San Antonio, both teams on the second night of a back-to-back. For Sacramento, no injuries coming out of last night. Trey Lyles remains out, which means that we have seen Isaac Jones playing those backup center minutes, and I talked about him as a potential pickup in deeper leagues. And we're talking deeper here, because as long as Sabonis is there, Jones is probably limited to 15 to 18 minutes most nights. Keegan Murray, we keep rolling with him. He hasn't been great, but he's starting. He's playing a lot of minutes. Kevin Huerter with Keon Ellis out of the rotation is at least guaranteed minutes in the 20s. It's probably not enough to make him a must roster, but maybe a stream if you're desperate tonight. For the Spurs, Devin Vassell out on the second night of a back-to-back. Not surprising. Wemby doubtful with his back injury. We had Jeremy Sochan starting at centre last night. I would say that Zach Collins would make more sense here up against Sabonis, but that was probably the case last night. Well, maybe it wasn't against Vooch. I don't know. I mean, Sochan was good last night, but Vooch had 39 points. So maybe they do switch this up and move Collins back into the starting lineup. Either way, I think Collins is worth a look. Charles Bassey, who was putting up value when Wemby was out previously, a little bit more limited here because they are playing Sochan as our center, a makeshift center, which limits Bassey's minutes, as well as Mamu Kelishvili. So we're looking at Collins and we're looking at Champagne, Steph Castle, these guys with Vassell out. There's probably a little bit more meat on the bone for those guys as well. Indiana at Chicago. Let's just shuffle that down a bit. There we go. For Indiana, Nembhard is questionable. This is, I wouldn't say it's concerning, but this is not the second night of a back-to-back. He missed their last game. This doesn't sort of come across as a situation where they rushed him back or anything like that, but any player that misses a couple of games after coming back from a knee injury is a little bit worrying. So something to keep an eye on. Obviously, his availability or lack thereof impacts TJ McConnell a little bit. McConnell has been good. And even if Nembhard plays, I think McConnell is still worth a look if you need assists and steals. And he's actually been scoring the ball quite well. I think he's got double digits in maybe 5 or 6 games. He's efficient. So I don't still mind him as a streamer. For the Bulls, Coby White is questionable. He's missed a couple of games with the ankle injury. There was never any indication that this was a significant ankle injury. So we'll see if he plays. Dosunmu, coming off his first career triple-double last night, would take a bit of a hit if Coby White is back. Lonzo Ball is also questionable to return, which would also impact Ayo Dosunmu. I'm still holding Dosunmu, obviously. But, there might be a little bit off the top here if Ball and White are both available. And Buzelis, who I've talked about as someone I'd like to see on the floor a bit more, is questionable tonight, but he's not playing enough most nights to be considered. Talen Horton-Tucker, who I always get questions about. Chad's not here. He's usually the one asking the questions. Look, he's been playing well, but he's still only playing 15, 16 minutes a night, which is not really enough. And if Coby White and Lonzo Ball are both back, Horton Tucker could go back to single-digit minutes, which is certainly not enough. Okay, Utah at Portland. For Utah, Jordan Clarkson remains out. Finally, a good decision. Talk about this every time that he's ruled out. You need to give plantar fasciitis time to rest. Other than that, though, relatively healthy. Nothing new. Let's put it that way. Filipowski is back with the G League, so he would be getting closer to a return. But up until that point, we just roll with all of their starters are must roster players at the moment. And no one on their bench needs to be rostered. It's pretty simple with this team. Walker Kessler's been playing huge minutes, which I love to see. We will see if that continues against DeAndre Ayton and his inability to defend or get to the free throw line. On the Blazers, they are potentially getting Scoot Henderson back. He is questionable. They're still without Klingon. They're still without Rob Williams. So there's a lot of DeAndre Ayton here, a bit of Jabari Walker at backup center, more minutes for Denny Avdija. Avdija, I think, should be rostered. Kamara still should be rostered. He's very unappealing, but he's doing just enough. I wrote about him in my waiver wire streaming article last night. So, yes, he is worth rostering too. What's happened to the screen? Here we go. Last game, Minnesota at Golden State. Golden State coming off yesterday's game will welcome back Steph Curry, where he's probable. So usually that would indicate a return that will, well, that impacts a lot of players. But Podziemski, Buddy Hield, Moses Moody all take a hit. Draymond Green is questionable. Andrew Wiggins, I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't play here. Steve Kerr said that he wouldn't have played last night had Curry and or Green played. So this may be a situation on the second night of a back-to-back where Wiggins is given the night off. And if that's the case, Kuminga would probably stick in the starting lineup coming off his career high 33 last night. So we're rostering Kuminga at the moment. Hield, I don't care if you want to, but there's not. He's a little bit Clay Thompson-y, which makes sense if you need threes. Trayce Jackson-Davis seems to have not fallen out of favour necessarily, but they are leaning a little bit more into Kevon Looney as a more traditional back-to-the-basket kind of centre. So Looney is interesting if you just need rebounds and an efficient low-volume scorer. And Jackson Davis probably not playing enough to warrant rostering at the moment. Excuse me. And for the Wolves, let's see what Mike Conley does. He only played 19 minutes in the last game, but it was a blowout. So we are thinking that he is now a 30-minute-a-night player. They seem to have realized, I don't know why it took so long, that they need him on the floor. So he should be rostered if he was dropped after that last game. Go and pick him up. Jaden McDaniels, not for me. And Dante DiVincenzo, Nikhil Alexander-Walker are sort of just splitting minutes as the backup point guard, shooting guard now. So I think both have a little bit of value, but it's could be a situation a little bit like the Tim Hardaway, Malik Beasley one, where it's just roll the dice and hope you land on the right one for that night. And that's all the games. Let's get into some questions. All right, baby Jesus. Hey, Kingy, looking to add some assists and threes. Do I prefer Mike Conley or Deuce McBride? Conley, if you're looking for security, just because, as I said, I think he's a 30-minute-a-night guy. If you're looking for upside, it's McBride, because if Brunson was to miss a game or something like that, which I know Brunson is probable, I believe. I did see him on the injury report. Where are you? Yes, he's probable with a back injury against Detroit tomorrow. Obviously, you get Conley tonight too, which is a bonus. If you're looking for right now, it's Conley because McBride doesn't play tonight. I think Conley's the safer option there, but McBride, we know he's one injury away from a 35-minute-a-night role. Do we reckon that Trey needs a week break like Luka to help him recover? Yeah, maybe. I mean, something's going on there offensively. He's not aggressive. He's not looking for his shot as much. I do think they only play, at the moment they only play once for this upcoming week, but they're obviously in the in-season tournament quarterfinals, I'm pretty sure. Can't think who they play. The Bucks, maybe? Anyway, so they probably will land a second game in there somewhere. But these next couple of weeks will be an opportunity for him to get a little bit of rest, whether that means they throw in a missed game. It's not going to be in the in-season tournament, though. So probably a little bit like Anthony Davis. He'll just be probable and miss a game from time to time. It is one of those injuries. It's interesting that they are playing him through an Achilles injury, because it can go from sort of bad to worse quite quickly, as we know. It's definitely something to keep an eye on, but Trae Young typically tries to play through most injuries, as we've seen throughout his career. Emmanuel Claxton, 10-team nine cap. I feel like I've had this question before. I don't, maybe I haven't. I prefer him in. He just does more across the board. The Nets are probably going to shut it down at some point, which would include Claxton, given they have some intriguing backup center options. So I prefer Amen. The punting threes probably works in Claxton's favor a little bit because Amen does at least shoot threes and hits some of them. But yeah, I do like Amen's ability to do a little bit across more categories. And that will do. That was a nice quick one. I should be back for a post-game show today. It might be a little bit later. I'm just heading to I've got things to do, and heading just to a friend's place to watch NBA, actually. So it will just depend what time I get back from his house, because we have a dinner, family dinner tonight. So it'll either be normal-ish sort of time for... Actually, what time's the last game? So last game's at 2 p.m. here, which... I might squeeze one in at sort of 4 p.m., 4:30 p.m. my time. Or alternatively, it would be after I get back, which would be a little bit later in the night, 7:30, 8 o'clock here. But there will be a show. I'll be also jumping on with Skitty on the Insight Fantasy Network in about 40 minutes, I think, to do their pregame show. And the new show that I've got coming out, the trade talk with Michael Waterloo, that will be debuting next week. He just had a couple of work things on today. So we'll be doing that probably around this time next week, I would say, talking about hypothetical trades, real trades that have gone down in fantasy leagues. And I think we're going to end up talking about movies as well. So if you're interested in movies, particularly horror movies, we both are, and as is his partner. We may end up talking about some horror movies as well. We'll try not to spend too long on that, because I know it's not everyone's cup of tea. But that will do. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. I'm Adam King. This has been the Balls Deep pregame show. Until next time, catch up.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.